Thank you very much, Chair. The esteemed high-level delegation of the DRC, Her Excellency Chantal Mwavita, the Minister of Human Rights, His Excellency, the Permanent Representative of the DRC to Geneva, and all members of the country delegation. First, amidst the ongoing deplorable armed conflict in Eastern Congo by the M23, we extend our heartfelt condolences to the people in the DRC and to the families of all the civilians who have lost their lives in the ongoing war. We also condemn strongly the ongoing advances by the M23 that is greatly impacting women and girls. The CEDAW committee recognizes that in situations of conflict, such as in Eastern DRC, women and girls have the least access to protection from different rights abuses, including GBV, conflict-related sexual violence, and they also have the least access to food, health, education, equal opportunities for employment and participation in conflict resolution and peace building. I'd like to commend the government of DRC for your commitment to being part of this constructive dialogue. And we also commend you for the progress that DRC continues to register in human rights, as evidenced from your recent election to the Human Rights Council and the numerous actions that you have taken, as mentioned in the opening statement, to combat conflict-related sexual violence. Your Excellencies, the CEDAW Committee's work is guided by the CEDAW Convention that requires the strengthening of peace and security, eradication of neocolonialism, respect for national sovereignty, territorial integrity, the affirmation of principles of justice and equality, and the understanding that the cause of peace requires the maximum participation of women with equal terms with men in all fields. Based on the State Party's presentation of its exceptional report on conflict-related sexual violence, it is our hope that this constructive dialogue enables the committee, the government of DRC, and other UN structures like the UN Office of Sexual Violence in Conflict, led by our former colleague, Her Excellency Pramila Patel, to develop recommendations to strengthen the State Party's political, judicial, security, and humanitarian efforts to effectively afford women and girls the special protection which they are entitled to under international law, humanitarian law, and human rights law. In this regard, Your Excellencies, I will proceed to post questions based on the grave reality of conflict-related sexual violence that you, Your Excellency, presented to us this morning. We do appreciate the description of the situation of women and girls that you have provided for us. Could the State Party please provide for us with specific information on the different forms of conflict-related sexual violence currently being committed against women and girls, including women with disabilities, internally displaced women, refugees in the DRC, Eastern DRC? Your Excellencies, an urgent and immediate political response, as expounded by our colleague from the Human Rights Committee, from the Human Rights in DRC mentioned, an urgent and immediate political response is needed to ensure sustainable peace and security in Eastern DRC in order to prevent further commission of conflict-related sexual violence and protect women and girls from different acts of conflict-related sexual violence. Given the complexity of the conflict in Eastern DRC, fueled by illicit exploitation of minerals in Eastern DRC, arbitrary boundaries created by the colonial legacy that led to different ethnicities across borders, and the existence of several armed groups, what key avenues and strategies is the State Party undertaking to push for sustainable peace in Eastern DRC, especially during the ongoing conflict, to prevent further commission of conflict-related sexual violence and ensure the effective protection of women and girls under international law, humanitarian law, and human rights law? Could the State Party please provide us and give us information on the ongoing illicit exploitation of minerals in Eastern DRC and the strategy it aims to implement to end the illicit exploitation of these minerals, to avert the conflicts that continue to disproportionately affect women and girls and increase their risk to conflict-related sexual violence? Given the comprehensive legal and policy framework and initiatives that we commend the State Party for undertaking to address conflict-related sexual violence, including the 2013 joint communique and the 2019 addendum, the various national action roadmaps that Your Excellency has expounded in her opening statement, and also the high-level technical team responsible for updating and implementing the national action plans on conflict-related sexual violence, would the State Party please provide for us clear challenges that it faces in implementing this legal and policy framework. What financial, logistical, and administrative strategies would the state party require to help them accelerate the implementation of the various legal and policy framework that has been mentioned? Thank you.